This is Eva Georgia, and we're doing the report of the listener tonight. Again, I have several of the managers who in with me in the studio: Estimania, Terry Guide, Terence Cheng, and Maria Kim. I'm going to go to the number. That number again: 818-985-5735. And we're going to Paul on line two. Hi, Paul. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Hello.
Yes, thank you very much. Same to you.
Thank you.
Okay. The question I have, I think, is a very profound one. As we had a few minutes ago, a description of how generous the listeners have been and how they've done that actually for decades. The station and the network is built on the listeners, one, on their subscriptions, their donations, and two, on the volunteer work that they do. So, in a way, the listeners are really the employers, because they pay the money for what happens, for everything, practically.
Absolutely.
Now, that being the case, my question, this is my question. From the very beginning of Pacifica, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK, which was the second station, the listeners have never really had the power to make decisions. They gave the money, they gave the labor, but they could not make any decisions. Even the local board, the LAB, which is an acronym for Local Advisory Board, is advisory only, has no power. So my question is, so far I don't see it happening as in any of the projected plans or committees like the Programming Council. There are only, according to the description in the document that the station has, there are only going to be two listeners on that council. And the rest of it, about 15 to more, will not be there because they are listeners. So, Mike, this is my basic question, and I'm glad to be able to ask you about it.
Okay,
the question is, how in the future will the listeners be given much more decision-making? That's decision-making, not advisory. Decision-making power.
Okay, Paul, there's a lot of callers, and I want to take as many questions as possible. So would it be okay that I take a couple of questions and then you can listen to it and
The answer to my question?
The answer to your question, let me just refer you to Estimania, but I think one of the things that we're trying to do now is say we want you to be part of the decision-making process. And that's where the collectives come in. The program council, no, we will have more dialogue about the program council, but it will not be two members. That's impossible. But we can talk more about that structure in length and the proposals we have on that. I think Esther wants to add to it.
No, that's basically what I was going to say. Hi, Paul. How's it going? Basically, we are breaking down that structure, and I feel that the listeners are having more say-so as far as programming goes. They are involved with either collectives, or also they're going to be involved with the programming council, which is soon to be developed, and it won't be just strictly on an advisory level. So we are working on that.
Hey, Paul, you still there?
No.
Okay, I think he's off the air, but also to encourage listeners to, you know, send in their proposals, and if you have a problem, it would be good to say, well, this is how decision-making did not happen, and this is how I see it happens now, so that we also don't just get your problem, but also possible solutions to look at. Let's go to Peter on line one. Hi, Peter. We've got Peter on the line.
Hello.
Hi, is that Peter?
Hi, yes, hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you kindly. L.A.'s population is like that of a small country. So many millions of people. How are we going to get reporters into the field from KPFK about all of the goings-on in our vast communities? That's one question. The second is, Greg Palast said that he's coming back to Los Angeles. Wouldn't it be incredible to get Palast on the air with a program near the drive time sound?
We've talked extensively about getting reporters in the field. That's going to be very important for us to do, particularly with programming and the local department. With regards to Greg Palast, it's something that, you know, that could be pursued, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. We would definitely like to pursue having Greg Paulus be a host or have a program. That would be excellent.
All right. That would be incredible, you guys.
It would be, Peter.
Yeah. And, you know, Peter, you will hear slight changes or differences in the programming. Like this morning on Sonali's show, she did a program that she went out to record. They had one program this morning where they talked to a young man that was incarcerated from, you know, that they talked to live. And so that's the kind of things that I'm hoping we'd be able to do more of, and getting reporters into the field. I'm not quite sure what that structure would look like, but we're looking at different ways of doing it. It will definitely happen.
And also training people, too, because you've got some great equipment there for people to go out into the field and get sound bites. And some of the different events that we have throughout the activist community, where incredible information is coming out through sources from around the world, and getting those sound bites up are sharing information that nobody else has access to.
We totally agree with you.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye, Peter.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to Jerry on line 3 at this point. This is KPFK, and we're doing the report to the listener. This is Eva Georgia, the general manager for KPFK, and we have several other managers with me. Do we have Jerry on the line?
Yes, you do.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I want to add my welcome to everybody else's. And, I have great hopes for you, and we're all looking forward to wonderful changes now that we have the network back. My topic, as always, is Mike Ruppert, and I think the problem has been the apparent censorship. The station has given the appearance of censoring Mike by having him only on for brief times, and it usually degenerates into personalities very quickly. If he were allowed to present all his information, I think the controversy would have dissipated months ago, but since he's been prevented, it just keeps growing and swirling about. I think the way to break the logjam is to give him a couple half-hour segments, let him put it on, and then let the debate commence between, say, either he or David Korn or Norman Solomon or whoever, and let's get the information out, air it out thoroughly, and trust the listeners. I mean, we're not stupid. We can make our own minds up.
So that's a good thing, Jerry. Let me just say where we are right now with the Mike Ruppert thing. Myself and the morning team, as well as our interim program director, Esther Mania, that's sitting here with me, was on the line. We had a conference call with Mike. I invited him back to the air and said that he could have an hour with Collins. So we will honor that. We've also asked him if he want to go on the air with David Korn. And who was the other person, Esther?
McDaniels.
Mike Michael.
Yeah. And right now he's in Canada, and he said that he will respond to me once he get back.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Let's go to Mary on line 5. Hi, Mary, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
This seems very mundane compared to all the profound questions, but I live way out in Banning, California. We're about 70 miles southeast or so.
Where are
you? And we have a horrible reception there, but I'm calling you right now from Beaumont, which is 6 miles west, and we get you loud and clear. And Banning has a large Native American population, a large African American population, a large Latino population, a large even Asian population, because a lot of Laotians came here in the late 70s and early 80s. And we desperately need you in Banning. We got you quite clearly 10 years ago. That I know. Then I moved from Banning to Claremont, no problem. Now I've moved back to Banning, and I can't hear you unless I'm in Beaumont. So I hope that the new transmitter will take care of that when it's finally, you know, finished, because we did get you 10 years ago, very loud and clear. And now Banning, you're just Casey. Oh, well, never mind. Another station of the NPR type sort of comes in and overwhelms you. So I plead with you, because there is a large constituency here just ready. Everybody is ready for this information, but they can't hear it there.
And we are ready for them. So we've been having some technical problems. They've tried to. They actually went to full power this past week, as well as the week before. And some of the problems that's been encountered is the fact that the parts that's being shipped, were damaged during shipping. But we were up. Myself and Terry went up to Mount Wilson, and pretty much the work there is 99% of the work has been completed.
Uh-huh.
So the transmitters are up and running. They're still waiting for some parts that, unfortunately, was.
I hope that part is going to reach us, because I'll tell you, I will have to move back to into the Beaumont area, and Beaumont is really more of a. It's not as diverse as Banning. Banning is a wonderfully diverse, and really, I think you could probably make hundreds of thousands of dollars just off Banning alone if we can get people listening.
Yeah,
can someone drive out here and listen?
I would love to.
It goes.
Just because of what you said about the communities.
The community is phenomenal. It's just wonderful, and everybody is just ripe for this information. But we can't get you in Banning.
Well, you should be getting us when the transmitter, I hope that it will be later this week, go to full power. And with 112,000 watts, we will be covering all of Southern California. So
yes, ma'am.
You should
it's
be
not just L.A. There's
yeah.
a lot of us out here.
So, and you know, one of these days I'm going to take a trip up to Banning. And when I do, I'm going to go on the air and let you know I'm coming that way.
I will come and meet you.
Please do. Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. This is Eva doing the listener report on KPFK 90.7. With me in the studio, I have the program director, Esther Mania, our subscriptions director, Terry Guide, business manager, the man with the numbers, Terrence Cheng, and our interim webmaster, Kim, Maria Kim. I'm sorry, you have two first names, just like I do. Let's go to Bella on line one, and for our listeners, the number to call would be 818-985-5735. Do we have Bella on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. I was hoping my phone was not interrupting the call. Just a couple of things. Just for you personally, I wanted to say welcome, and it's quite a responsibility to undertake, I'm sure. You need to differentiate between plural and single, and whether to say is or are, or has or are, but that's a silly comment. Anyway, I called because I wanted to let you know that the station needs to invest some effort, some diligent effort, and not later but sooner, in promotion efforts regarding banners displaying the call letters of the station. Don't be bashful. We need to do that. We need to let people know who we are. You know, what is KPFK FM? What does it stand for? You know, no matter how much money you have raised, which I'm just flabbergasted that you did so well, it's wonderful. We need more. And the only way we can reach the masses the way we need to is by promoting ourselves. And, I mean, I use the Internet to get people from Colorado, from Pittsburgh, all my friends. But I'm only one person, whereas the effort should be collaborative, and we need to just show the letters. I mean, get a billboard, for heaven's sakes, you know, to advertise it. You know, we need to let people know what is KPFK, what is Pacifica Radio, what do we stand for, what are we offering versus the mainstream media. Let's draw the stark difference. Let's get that out there, the message. You follow me?
Yeah, Bella, thank you for your comment. We have been talking about doing an extensive marketing and promotional campaign.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is marvelous. This is what we need above anything else. I mean, of course, the bylaws are very important. But I heard somebody mention just that last week when it was coming from Berkeley. And I happened to be in Berkeley the day before, so unfortunately I was not able to stay to hang out. But, absolutely, I never heard anybody say that. And I had been thinking of this myself. How can we really let the people know what is KPFK FM? You know, what do we stand for? What is our message? What is the goal? You know, 50 years ago, this is, we have history. We got to capitalize on that.
We totally agree with you. Thank
okay.
you so much.
You're very welcome, and great luck to you and everybody.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I guess I will need that luck. In the meantime, to our callers, we're going to ask you to keep it very brief. We're trying to take as many callers as possible. So if you could just get to your question, just to allow some more people to get on the air, that would be wonderful. The number to call is 818-985-5735. And that note, I think with not having English on as my first language, I hope to get better. You know, what can I say? Let's talk to, I think, Jeff on line 8. We're going to be talking to Jeff. This is Ivan, KPFK.
Hello there. Are you there?
Hi, Jeff. Yes, we are.
Brief comment. In the old days when you called KPFK, there was no screener, and there's a reason for this, because people that call the station, most of them are in a long distance, and it costs a lot of money now to call and sit on hold. See, in the old days, we had no censorship. The phones would ring. When you picked it up, you were on the air. And I think they need to go back to that, because it's a waste of money that we could be giving to the station. You don't need an 800 number. You just need to go back to the old days, let the phone ring, you pick it up, you're on the air. And actually, that's better, because that means there is no censorship, there is no selection, and you don't waste any money sitting on hold. And the other thing I would say briefly is this. Other than the fact that we got Democracy Now! Back, none of the programs really changed, and the caliber of your programming, for the most part, is really horrible. The only word I can use for it is garbage. I mean, you've got a show about the record industry. You've got a show about spirituality and talking to dead people. You've got too much music. You know, you have topics about the history of punk rock music. You know, there's some very serious things going on in the world. We should have a show about Social Security. We should have a 15-minute show about atheism. We should have a 15-minute show about communism. We should tell people how to be minimalist. We should tell people in the community what needs to be done. Really, nothing has changed. I mean, KPFK is really just... The feminist show has gotten so horrible, I can't even listen to it anymore. So other than Democracy Now!, what's really changed? We got rid of Cooper, but we still have Cooper's boys. So
Jeff, I just want to say I appreciate you calling in and voicing your comments and or concerns. But obviously, you know, we've had a record-breaking fund drive this past fund drive, and if everybody else felt as strongly as you do about our programming, our results wouldn't be as great as they were.
Wait a minute, though. People will...
I think that was Jeff, and I don't think it's fair that you come on the air and talk about programming and, you know, how badly you see it. Because I think there's a lot of people that put a lot of effort in these programmers, all volunteers. So if you're here to bash, don't come on the air, okay? If you're here to talk and bring forth your problems and concerns in a constructive manner, I'm very willing to take it. But if you're out to bash, don't call this number. I'm not interested in dealing with that. I think that I am here and that we will respect you and deal with you. All of our listeners, in a respectful manner, we ask the same from you. And if you have, you know, if you feel that the programming is so bad, I would just like to invite you to come in, talk to us, tell us what kind of ideas you have, because we can always get better. In the meantime, the number is 818-985-5735. I'm not trying to censor people. I don't think that we've been doing that. We'll just be taking the calls without any screening. So let's go to the next caller. And I think that is Nalini. On line 9.
That's Lynette on line 1. Are you there?
Hello, Eva. Welcome to Los Angeles.
Hi, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, am yes. I talking? Who am I speaking to?
This is Nalini.
Oh, okay, that's so how I say your name? I'm sorry. Nalini?
Nalini, correct. Okay. Congratulations on your new jobs. Awesome, awesome opportunity. And I'm calling with some concerns about the lab structure that's been formulated.
Okay.
I kind of fall under the category of listeners who had remained very supportive of KPFK over the last 3 years during the dissident campaign. And I find myself among the people who are really marginalized and feel very nervous to join the LABs, and because of the rhetoric you just heard from the last caller. There's a concept out there that anybody who reads LA Magazine or reads The Nation Magazine is no longer considered a proper Pacifica listener. And it's very intimidating. And my concern about the LAB structure is that we're being told that the new structure is going to give the advisory boards certain powers of decision-making in terms of hiring and firing and programming. And I'd like to ask you, as a general manager, how that will work? How will you be able to make those key decisions? And of course, I would honor any process that gives you advice and opinions. But do you feel that the new LAB structure is going to give authority to these volunteer boards, which may or may not reflect the interest of 20,000 listeners. You know, only a handful of people might be there participating, but the listeners really want to know that the shows are going to be of the highest quality, and that they'll be, you know, good, well managed and on a secure financial basis. And we have to have a confidence in our management and not just rely on a volunteer board. So if you could address that for me.
Thank you. And in the meantime, I'll ask if Lydia is still on the line to try and address, help me address this question.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead?
Okay. Well, first of all, the local advisory board structure is such that, as number one, we're going to be elected, including everybody who is a subscriber for KPFK will be able to vote on who is going to be on the local advisory board, and that's where some of these decisions and the input to the station will come from, again, at an advisory board level. This is not something new, by the way. It's just that what had happened at one point, which was the basis of the lawsuit to begin with, is that the member rights had been denied us by the national board, and that will be reinstated by the oncoming bylaws. And of course, that particular act by the previous national board was in violation of California corporate law. So we will continue to function as an advisory board, and so it's not, I think there's a misconception as to what has changed. Right now, we're still going by the old, the previous policies, which is how we're moving ahead in terms of our work. But in terms of the diversity of the voices that we hear, I think that you should attend our next local advisory board meeting if you can. As I said, I hope by the end of the week we will have an appropriate site. That's what I'm hoping to confirm by Wednesday, and that we will have it the third week of July. And I hope that you will attend, and I think that you will come away with a different opinion. We are certainly hoping not to alienate, but rather to incorporate everyone's voices and have it be as reflective of the listenership as possible.
Thanks, Lydia, for that response. And just to add on, I think it's going to be important that people support, you know, give their support as much as they give financial support, that they come in and become part of the decision-making process. And one of those things would be to get involved with the program council once it's established. But there's also a lot of committees right now, and we'll give you some more updates on the website as to how people can get involved so that they can feel that they're sharing the power. In the meantime, I have a couple of more callers that I'd like to take. It's on the line. It's Lynette, Chester, Dan, and Joe. So I'm going to take... I'm going to take Lynette on line one, but just want to tell the other people we have 5 more minutes, so if you can just make it brief, I'd like to take all of your questions. Hi, Lynette.
Hello. I love your English. Thank you for learning another language. I miss Mark Cooper. I miss his vocabulary. I miss the questions he would ask that I would have asked if only I had been there or if only I had thought of them. And the man is of such high caliber. He interviews people that no one else talks to. And if whoever doesn't want to listen to him doesn't want to listen to him, tell him to turn the radio off. And the bumper sticker should say KPFK small, 90.7 big, and it should say, listen, this is the news that you aren't going to get anywhere else. That's what it should say, because nobody knows it's not even music, you know, if you put it on your car.
That's a great slogan for the bumper sticker. Thank you so much for your comment. Bye-bye. And I'm taking Chester on line two. Hi, Chester, are you there? This is Yvonne, KPFK 90.7. Let's talk to Chester.
Right. I've been listening to KPFK for 30 years and have subscribed off and on for years, and the station has had its ups and downs. And I think that it's important for the station to be able to honor the pledges. You know, sent off 150 during the winter fund drive and still haven't received my pledge, and have emailed the station and the program person when I, you know, donated listening to his particular program. And it's not just the gift or the premium, but it's the station being able to follow through in a timely manner with these premiums and with the folio and with everything else that it's attempting to do.
Chester, thank you. I'm going to ask Terry Guy to answer your question. We have 2 more minutes.
Just very quickly, please call the subscriptions department at 985-2711, extension 508 during the day.
Well, thank you, and we apologize if you didn't get your premiums, and we will try, and absolutely, we have to, honor that. Right now, I think I just wanted to say thank you. So that will do it for today's show. I'd like to thank the audience for listening to my first report of the listener. My name, again, is Eva Georgia, the new general manager of KPFK. Please send your comments to comments@kpfk.org. Alternatively, you can use my GM email address. That would be gm@kpfk.org. I want to say thank you to our volunteers, our staff, and the programmers, and you, the listening community. Thank you. We appreciate you.
At 7 o'clock on KPFK's Gay and Lesbian Radio News Magazine, a conversation with the Academy Award-nominated documentary filmmakers of Straight from the Heart, plus a look at whether the gay rights movement is still relevant, and the latest on the new play, Writing Hollywood Lesbian 1963. That's coming up at 7 on IMRU. The KPFK Evening News Hour is next on KPFK Los Angeles 90.7 FM.
Hi, this is Christy Lomax asking you to join me tonight for Restless Soul, the place where the influence of American soul music is felt worldwide. International rhythms, fat beats, and honey-coated vocals. So join me for the next wave in soul music right here on listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, 90.7 FM, KPFK.
Kevin Phillips started out as a teenage strategist for Richard Nixon in 1968, but as the rich got richer and more powerful and more corrupt, Kevin Phillips changed sides, and now he's warning anyone who will listen that Wall Street and the corporate elite pose a massive threat to American democracy. I'm John Wiener, and tomorrow at 5 on Beneath the Surface, I'll be speaking with Kevin Phillips about his new book, Wealth and Democracy, The Political History of the American Rich, tomorrow at 5 on 90.7 KPFK.
This is Free Speech Radio News for Monday, July 1st, 2002. From Chiapas, Mexico, I'm Deepa Fernandez. As Israel kills another Hamas member and Hamas promises to avenge the killing, the Israeli grip on the Palestinian territories tightens. A new documentary film suggests that several thousand Taliban prisoners perished at the hands of the Northern Alliance while American military personnel stood by. And Ralph Nader is on another big rally tour of the country. Last night he was in New Haven, Connecticut. But first, these news headlines.
I'm Randy Zimmerman with the headlines for Free Speech Radio News. Today, a B-1 bomber and a fixed-wing plane attacked a village in southern Afghanistan. Afghan hospital workers say that the U.S. airstrike hit a home where a wedding was in progress. While exact numbers are still being verified, the hospital workers say the attack killed and wounded scores of people, mostly women and children. The U.S. military said they were defending against enemy fire, but an Afghan Defense Ministry official confirmed it was a wedding ceremony and added that some of the guests were firing in the sky as part of the celebration. One Pentagon official said the bombing was in response to anti-aircraft fire directed against so-called coalition forces. Pentagon officials also confirm they cannot account for at least one dropped bomb. A federal judge in New York today declared the federal death penalty unconstitutional. Though the ruling applies to a single case, it is expected to bolster the cause of those seeking to abolish the death penalty. Andrea Sears reports from New York.
In his 28-page ruling, federal judge Jed Rakoff of Manhattan said evidence indicates innocent people are sentenced to death more often than previously believed, and proof of their innocence often doesn't come to light until long after their conviction. Rakoff said it follows that the federal death penalty laws violate due process by depriving innocent people of an opportunity to prove their innocence and creating an undue risk that innocent people will be executed. So far, 100 death row inmates have been exonerated since capital punishment was reinstated in 1976.